Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you use it to your advantage. It's all there for you, provided at no charge. Everything is free except for the books. We like for you to pay for the books, of course. But everything else is free thanks to our outstanding corporate partners, these great sponsors that we have that work with us, and some of them for a number of years, for many years, have been staunch supporters of all the things that you and I do, and I appreciate them, and I certainly hope you do. Don't forget, when you get to our site, check out our blog, which is right there. You can use it. You can have it. We'll send it to you if you want. And also, you please subscribe to my newsletter, which comes every week by email, every Sunday afternoon, get you ready for the week ahead. And plus, you got about 6,000 archives now, going all the way back to 1999. We've been on the internet since 98, but we've been simulcasting on the internet since 98 and are doing a replay since then. But since 99, we've been capturing all of our interviews, over 1,000 a year, and putting them up on the website. So I hope you use those to your advantage. And don't forget the articles, lots and lots of articles. Just about every topic you can think of for a small business, we've got something there, an article or a Brain Trust member who can help you, a book or an archive. And as I say, almost all that's free except for the books. Stephen Little is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. As I said, Stephen is one of the smartest guys we know. He's the author of the 7 Irrefutable Rules of Small Business Growth. And nobody is out there crisscrossing the country talking to small business owners face-to-face more than Stephen Little. And he's our good friend. Stephen, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
All right, buddy. It's good to have you back.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me back.
I'm excited about being with you in Cleveland in a day or so.
Yeah, I'm actually leaving tomorrow.
I'm leaving today.
Are you? Good.
Yeah, they're
you.
Putting me. They're putting me to work. I got to go to work tomorrow.
are you doing a session? Are you?
I'm going to be moderating their Affinidae.
Oh, that's
event.
Right. Yeah,
I'm going to be the gong show host, basically. this is where folks, as many of you know, Chambers of Commerce are like all nonprofit organizations. They're trying to find new ways to add revenue to their operation, not just from the dues of members. And so, Stephen, as you know, a lot of these vendors who are there, this is going to be there at the American Chamber of Commerce Executives Conference in Cleveland this week. Part of what they want these guys to do is to sell their stuff, and they'll get a little piece of the action.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So we're gonna have a kind of a speed dating thing tomorrow, where these guys get up and they got 3 minutes to tell their story, Stephen, and I'm the guy who's in charge of the 3 minute clock.
Gotcha.
I actually have a 3 minute hourglass, a 3 minute glass.
Yeah.
A great big foot tall hour 3 minute glass, and so when the sand tells the story, they got to stop talking.
Yeah, that makes great sense.
So anyway, they got me working tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to that. But you and I are going to be exhibitors there together in that group,
indeed.
And
exactly.
it'll be good to see you again. So you know, you've been crisscrossing the country. How many chambers have you spoken to this year?
Oof, well, I know I've done 50 chambers in 18 months. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of chamber. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Thank
now,
you.
Can you are you can you go back to any of these? Will they let you come back to all of them? Or?
In fact, it happens quite regularly. Things will go well, and they'll say, "Hey, get that guy back in here." So,
right.
I get back to the same chambers over and over.
I'm not surprised. I was hoping that would be the case. So, what have you learned as you've been talking to chambers and as you've been meeting small business owners that you speak to? I mean, I know you're not one of these guys who you jet. In your private jet and you don't get down with the great unwashed. You actually connect with the real folks there. What have you learned, Stephen?
Well, there are a few things, and I'm noticing certain trends because I've always got my eyes and ears open for a new book, and I'm right in the midst of really formulating one, and I've got kind of a working title, but it all revolves around people. And that the big issue right now, and it's not unusual to hear now, is most people who have employees are most worried about people. Either the ones they've got they're not happy with, or the ones they can't find, or the regulations that surround it, the taxation. So the people points of pain, I call them, it seems to be the thing that I hear talked about the most. And so when I go to a town from, you know, Meadville, Pennsylvania to somewhere down in Alamogordo, New Mexico, when a business owner who's got, let's say, more than five employees, but maybe less than 100, that range, this is their real issue. And so I actually even did a survey recently where I went to a few hundred, and anybody that I talked to that after I got done with the speech and they came up to me and just said hello, and I'd say, well, you know, tell me about your business. If they were in that range of five or more employees and under 100, I'd say, hey, do me a favor. Just take a quick survey. And it was a real quickie. It was a one-pager that just had a few questions. And in essence, I asked them what their points of pain were, and it was very telling. Very telling. So you know, the big answer to your question is...
I bet the constant first or second response was finding and keeping good people.
Well, I'll be honest with you. It assumed that in the question. So in other words, the question was something to the extent.
So you led with that. But you know what? I don't lead them. And when I ask them that question, that's what they always say. So yeah. your questionnaire is right on the money.
The next step, because I was getting, you know, to the point where I knew that's the thing that they were going to say. So then I broke it down and said, all right, we know that people are your primary point of pain. Let's get real specific. Mm-hmm. And so I had a list of about 15 things that I was hearing over and over again, from the liability stuff, you know, the sexual harassment to the OSHA to whatever, to I can find them, but I can't keep them. I can keep them and find them, but I can't afford them. The benefit issues, the whole gamut. And here was really the big takeaway, and it was somewhat surprising for me, Jim. I don't know if it will be for you or not. What I'm finding is there's a big disconnect between what employers think employees should bring to the table and what employees think employers should bring to the table. And that gulf seems to be widening. And my view as an independent observer is that neither side is wrong, but boy, they sure don't understand one another.
Well, as the chain gang boss on Cool Hand Luke said, and that those famous words, what we have here is a failure to communicate.
To communicate, that's about right.
When we come back, we're going to talk about how to bridge that gulf and get those people talking right after these messages with our good friend Stephen Little. Stay with us. Back is 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. Stephen Little is our guest. I'm glad he's here, too. He's the author of The 7 Irrefutable Rules of Small Business Growth. Stephen, give us your website, please.
It is www.stephen, with a V, middle initial S, as in Sterling Little, LITTLE.com.
Stephen V. Sterling S. Sterling Little .com. Stephen S. Little .com. What do we find when we get there, Stephen?
Well, primarily what you're going to find is a walk and talk and Steve. The technology will make your folks laugh, if nothing else. There's nothing there to buy, but there's some good things to learn, and the use of technology usually pretty much amazes folks.
And the book is available wherever books are sold. Can they also get it on your website?
They can go right from our website to Amazon and buy it there.
So check it out, folks. Okay, Stephen, we're talking about this challenge of communication between the employees and the managers. Do you think it's a generational thing? Do you think it's a problem because many of the managers are on one end or the other of the baby boomers, and I certainly am on one end of that spectrum, and I grew up at a different time. I came up in the marketplace in a time that wasn't that much different from my parents, but the world has changed six times since then. Yep. And some managers haven't been able to get over that, have they?
Well, that is right, and what's interesting too is that even some of these boomers that you know, that adults were complaining about you know, back in the 60s are now the ones that being the adults complaining about kids today.
That's right, these kids today.
You know, there's a couple things going on. One is just pure numbers. That Bureau of Labor Statistics tells us that there's, in the decade we're about halfway done with, there'll be 22 million new jobs created. Maybe 17 million new workers to fill them. Mm-hmm. We got like 5 million people missing. Mm-hmm. So finding people has just gotten more difficult. And as a result, it's shifted from being a buyer's market to a seller's market as it relates to people and their time. And employers that understand that have started to get more flexible in understanding that the face and the reason people work, what the people look like, how they behave, what their motivations are, all of that has changed from the days when my dad, Jim, went to work for IBM right out of college.
Right.
He worked there his entire career, and they shook his hand at 57 years of age and said, you get 80% of your highest year salary for the rest of your life. Go have a good life.
And here's a watch. Yeah, have
yeah.
fun.
Yeah, and now, what a great deal. Where do I sign up for that program?
And, right.
But that program doesn't exist, and young people today know that too. Well, young people today know, and when I say young, Jim, I hate to say it, but you know, I'm talking under 40 now. What young people today know is they grew up in a family of dual income and looked at that and said, divorce rate over 50%, never saw my folks, we're not going to do that with our family.
Right.
And have started to more and more say, I'm not defining myself by my career. The job will fit my needs. And
it's not that they don't have a work ethic. It's that they don't have the work ethic we're used to.
Exactly.
It's their work ethic.
The understanding, as you called it, the lack of communication that, you know, because here's the number one. I give people all kinds of interesting things to answer on my little very unscientific survey, but very interesting. I did survey hundreds of people. And I thought for sure that the leading cause of pain as it relates to employers would be benefits. You know, the way I phrased the question was this. I think the real problem is employee benefits. We just can't compete with the big guys on affordability of health insurance. Mm-hmm. I thought that'd be number one for sure. It wasn't.
It used to be.
The number one was this. I believe people's expectations of work are the primary pain culprit. Whatever happened to a solid work ethic and loyalty to your employer? That was number one by a far margin. And that fascinated me. And then in the top three was, I hate to say it, but managing people today is like managing children. They fight with me and each other, and they're over silly things, and they never seem to listen to simple direction. Bad attitudes and lack of communication are making me crazy these days. That was in the top three answers out of 15.
Wow.
So what I'm hearing is, a lot of, you got two choices. You can either try to force fit people to fit a model that exists in your mind that perhaps doesn't exist anymore, or maybe you get lucky, you kiss enough frogs to where you get a team of people who are like-minded.
Right, right.
But I'm finding that the ones that are making it out there, I was just up in, I know you spent some time up in Meadville, Pennsylvania.
I'm headed up there in January, February.
Great folks up there.
Yeah.
There's a guy up there that just, the Small Business Administration just gave Small Business Person of the Year award to the company.
We met him in April.
Yeah, you and I were in
great,
D.C.
Great company.
And this guy is an outstanding young man. And one of the things he's figured out is to stop trying to force fit people into his idea of what they should do. Find out what it is they want to do, support them, and then he'll make his money back. He's
right.
Grown like leaps and bounds by finding good folks and working around their needs and their schedules and building businesses around them.
He's kept it pretty simple too, hasn't he? I think that's the key to his success. He believes it doesn't have to be that complicated.
Well, and he's also in an industry and in a territory where people thought that the world was dead. He's in a machine tool up in the Rust Belt,
right.
and in industries that people, you know, said were dead in this country, and he's proven it all wrong and said that, you know, we can still compete effectively in these kinds of things if we do it right. And, you know, he's no rocket scientist. He'll be the first one to admit it. He's an awesome
like a couple of speakers I know. Hey, Stephen, thank you for being here. Good job today. And we're looking forward to seeing you this week.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. Stephen Little, ladies and gentlemen, the 7 irrefutable rules of small business growth, wherever books are sold, and you'll be hearing from him again. Quick break, right back with Mark Mayberry. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're going to talk about some big ideas.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.